Now's everybody set. Okay. One thing most Hoosiers don't know but should be very proud of is the tremendous progress at the Department of Corrections under Commissioner Dave Donahue. In particular, working in every way to try to make sure that those who have run afoul of the law in Indiana don't do so again, that they are rehabilitated, that they go through meaningful reentry programs, that they get substance abuse help if that's been a problem, and in particular that where possible they learn some usable skills so that once they leave the custody of the state, they don't come back having done injury to others and costing taxpayers a lot more money. One of many, many innovations under Commissioner Donahue has been a variety of new work and training programs, and in the course of one of those, he and his people came up with the idea which is before you now, which is to was to build using high-skilled prisoner labor a new table that will be here for the benefit of governors and the people of Indiana for a long time. It's a spectacular work at almost zero cost, and along the way men at Westville who will one day, we hope, re-enter the workforce and live law-abiding lives learned a lot. I really want to thank Superintendent Bill Wilson, who's here with us today. Alex McEthran is the shop foreman who superintended all this work, and Steve Fox is the plant director, and I think in some ways he and Alex get the credit for the design and the construction. So we just wanted to unveil it with thanks, first of all, to those who built it, and I hope that the things they learned as they did this work and much similar craftsmanship that they are learning up there will serve them well in later years. And I want to thank Dave and Alex and Bill and Steve, all their colleagues at Corrections, for yet another step forward for better government.
Did any of the men who worked on this have experience?
Yes, some of them did. A lot of them brought great ideas to the table. They had some design ideas that we listened to, some techniques that Alex and I had never even tried before. So it was a great joint effort.
Were any of the inmates, I mean, did they get paid anything for doing this?
The offenders all get paid a certain amount, and depending on their skills and their job placement within the facility, they earn a daily wage. We put up nearly 2,000 man hours into this table, most of it offender labor. So it's an incredible endeavor, labor intensive, and 90% of the work is done by the offenders.
I had a great visit out at Putnamville not too long ago and saw some more innovations. They're in one factory, really. They're building flats for warehouses and industries, and the most interesting one Dave took me to see was a thoroughbred retirement farm where horses who would otherwise be destroyed are being saved, and inmates are learning to be barn hands. And
that's right.
And I'm told that there are a lot of jobs waiting for people who know how to work with animals when they leave.
Is the podium made at the same time?
It was, yes. Same time?
Yes.
Same place, same time. Yeah. Excuse me for not mentioning. Is that it? Well, I'm increasingly committed to the proposal that I made last weekend. It needs to get a hard look. We have $300 million of property tax relief headed out, but in two ways, the current plan ought to be changed. One, Speaker Bower's rebate program has one defender left, and that's him. He needs to come off it. We need to move to a credit. The taxpayers need relief now, and we don't need any additional complexity or expense to give it to them. More importantly, if we use the $300 million in a circuit breaker approach, we can ensure that no Indiana taxpayer pays more than a fair amount. Right now, I mean, that very large sum of money is going to go to people whose taxes are going down, as well as those who are getting an unacceptably high bill. And there's a smarter way. And so I'm going to continue to talk to legislators about that. I'm pleased that other ideas are starting to come forward, and that's good.
Don't your ideas and some of the ideas the Speaker is putting forward now have to be done in the special session? You said you haven't made up your mind, and he says no, but some of these have to be done that way?
They might have to be. And I won't hesitate to call one if that's the best way to fix this problem. Let me just say this. We are here to fix problems. We have fixed bigger ones and harder ones than this. As the state learned yesterday, we fixed the bankruptcy of Indiana in less than 2 years. We fixed the transportation deficit crisis in Indiana. We are fixing the child protection crisis, and we can fix this one, and we will. It may well take a special session. I would like to see some coalescing around a good idea first, but I won't hesitate to call one with or without. We are working on this every single day, and so I would like to see some coming together around at least a good starting idea, but I won't wait very long. Yeah, I've said before, and it's still my strong preference, that we have a sound idea and a fighting chance. But we are going to attack this problem with every tool we have. I'm using those that are given to a governor, and there are a few more to use. But those that may require the legislature, I'm not prepared to wait for next year. Well, let me say this. First of all, the surplus was very hard to create. 2 years ago, this state was broke. It's a dramatic turnaround, and we want to be very careful not to go back. Those who spent the state into bankruptcy were the first to step forward and say, let's start spending again. I will say that I'm open to using part of our hard-won state surplus, at least in a temporary way, if need be. But the first thing we should do is use the money that has already been provided by the General Assembly in a more targeted way. It doesn't make a lot of sense to send rebate checks to people whose taxes are already going down while other people are in danger of losing their house. And we could provide a ceiling, a circuit breaker, in fact, lower than the 2% version that comes into effect next year, if we just targeted that money better, and that's where we should start. But the surplus could facilitate that and get the relief out faster if we need to.
It seems like to me a circuit breaker doesn't really target people who might be losing their house because it doesn't really take income into account. So you could have a wealthy person who happened to have a high property tax bill or get a break, and a low-income person who maybe their bill didn't go up dramatically, but they can't afford
it. Leslie, that's exactly why I suggested flexibility in this. Circuit breakers could come in several different varieties. It could be a percent of AV. It could be a percentage increase over last year's bill. It could be a dollar increase ceiling over last year's bill, or it could be a percentage of income, as you suggest. The point is that if instead of spreading rebate checks across everyone, when the problem is local and urgent in certain places, there's not one smarter way, but many.
A lot of people using the surplus, would it be fair to say we would use it temporarily until we have the racetrack dollars?
That's certainly a possibility. It's important not only to act where the problem is severe, but to act quickly. That's one thing that's wrong with the rebate. And if we can use the surplus to act more quickly, I'm certainly open to that.
A lot of people say that residents of areas like Butler, Tarleton, and Meridian, Kessler shouldn't be complaining because their houses were undervalued for years and now they're just catching up with where they should be. If you target the relief, doesn't that just perpetuate situations like that?
Some of the increases that have happened are simply unacceptable and intolerable if you just look at the dollar figures. And I'm just, you know, we're going to have to address the long-term problems around property taxation and eventually, and I have more to say about that soon. But in the near term, it's simply unacceptable to have people, wherever they live, at risk of losing their house because of any combination of local overspending, failed assessment, or failure of local leadership to shift to the income tax when they've had that opportunity. And so we're going to have to encourage or require all those things to improve.
You said you won't wait much longer. Are we talking about something this week, perhaps?
I'm just not going to talk about timing, except to say that, as always here, when we're working on a problem, we are working on it daily and without a lot of patience. I'm just going to reserve any further comment about a special session while we continue our legislative conversations.
Who were you referring to when you said those who spent the state into bankruptcy are the first to suggest using the surplus?
Well, I read some lectures from the speaker and from Wynn Moses and others, and you know, I would simply say that they need to, if their memories are so short, they don't remember the state was broke 2 years ago. If they don't remember that a $2 billion surplus vanished in the years right before that, I hope they will reflect back on that. We need to be careful. It was not easy at all to bring the state back without a tax increase to a position that is reasonably strong fiscally. And we just need to be very careful when there are other options available not to repeat those mistakes. I would make the same comment regardless of the party of someone who makes what I consider a reckless suggestion.
Can the rebate become a credit without legislative action?
If it could be, I'd be happy to do it that way. My impression is it would take legislative action.
Jeff Esmick said yesterday he would be in favor of a special session if you did that move to a credit. So is it fair to say that you have your work to do probably with the majorities of the House and Senate?
Oh, I think there's plenty of discussion needs to happen on both sides. This is not a party matter at this point. I hope it doesn't become one. There are people on both sides who favor a special session and people who don't. There are people who, on each side who have very different views about the need to move now. They don't see the same urgency I do. So I think we've got more conversations to have on both sides of the aisle. We are looking at the data right now, and you can expect a decision on that this week. I will say that Marion County was 10 or 11 days in violation of the law, turning over their parcel data. Many other counties are worse than that. And there may need to be reassessments in many other places, but we can't know that, and we wouldn't order that until we've had a good hard look at whether the job was well done or poorly done or not done at all.
Any early trends you're seeing in Marion County?
It appears clear that in many, not all, of the townships, there seems to have been an abdication of duty in which an extraordinary number of commercial properties were not reassessed. But we want to look a little harder before coming to that conclusion. And then the question is, what's the right step? What's the right action to correct it?
You're pushing hard, as are some legislators, for counties to take the 1% income tax increase option to lower property taxes. But in some counties where Morgan County, for instance, where property taxes have not gone up, they've already imposed an income tax. And for other homeowners, maybe even in Marion County where their tax bills didn't go up, what would you tell those people about why they should pay higher income taxes to lower somebody else's property tax?
First of all, like everything about this problem, it is different from place to place. That's why I always favor home rule and flexibility. Secondly, I've said for a long time, I think most people, those people who want to abolish the property tax, all agree that what we're talking about is shifting the balance, which is now far too heavy on the property taxpayer, to other sources, and the income tax is an obvious candidate. So I would simply say that, remember, it all comes from the same people. The question is, what's a fair balance? And right now, in some places, property taxpayers are carrying far too much of the burden of local spending, and those who might have a lot of income but not a lot of it tied up in property, maybe a little less.
If you order a reassessment, would it be a business only or a business and industrial?
Not sure yet. Thank you.